Good morning. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus. And joining us today is Dr. Mark Calkins. Dr. Calkins is an assistant professor in the College of Health Sciences, but he's also the director of a very interesting lab. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in just a minute. I want to kind of leave you in suspense until we thank Dr. Calkins for joining us. And Dr. Calkins, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
I mentioned that you're in the College of Health Sciences, and as we know, the College of Health Sciences is an incredible college. There are so many things going on there, and always new things. And as I mentioned, you're the director of the Human Anatomy Lab, and I think that may raise a lot of eyebrows and curiosity. So tell us a little bit about this lab. It's new, you mentioned.
It's a new lab. We had an old cadaver lab, but this is brand new. It will be used for the first time this semester. Construction has been going on for over a year, and plans have been to build it for at least 3 or 4 years before I got here.
So tell us a little bit about the old lab and how that differs from what you all have now.
The old cadaver lab was much smaller. It had very little storage space. It had no multimedia capabilities. It limited the number of students who could be there at a time, and the new lab improves on all those parameters.
As far as what the students are able to do and what you're trying to teach them, a lot of people, when you think of cadavers, you think of either forensics, police lab, medical school. Tell us what this brings to our students, and who are the students who get to work and use this lab?
The students that are primarily using it are the Doctor of Physical Therapy students and the Masters of Occupational Therapy students. Just like in medical school, they dissect cadavers. We dissect the entire cadaver so they can learn the anatomy that will be helpful in their future careers. Clinical chemistry lab students that come over and observe cadavers, they don't actually dissect, but they come over and observe. And we've also used the old lab, and we'll use the new one, for teaching in the community, where we have continuing educational classes for physical therapists and occupational therapists in the local community. We run courses, and they need to take certain courses to keep their licenses current. And we've had dissected specimens for them to examine. The last one we did was an ankle program, and we had dissected a few ankles, and they came down to look at them in the lab. We'll be able to do more of that with this new facility.
I'm glad you brought that up, and I think myself included and some of our listeners may wonder if these are occupational therapy students, why would they be working with cadavers? Because a lot of times, and I think it's a stereotype that we learn from TV, watching movies, whatever, that people who work on cadavers are either doing an autopsy or, in medical school.
Physical therapists and occupational therapists have to know anatomy very well to be able to treat their patients correctly. Anatomy is very three-dimensional. There are layers and planes, and things are deeper and more superficial. And it's really not possible to learn that just by reading about it or listening to lectures. Models will help, but it's not nearly as effective as going in there and actually dissecting. When you're dissecting, you're hands-on, you're seeing the different layers and the three-dimensional relationships that you just can't understand if you just read about it or look at pictures.
Question might be, where did the cadavers come from?
The cadavers are donated, just like organ donors, and there are about 8 or 9 facilities throughout the state that accept cadavers and solicit them, and they are donated. They're dissected when we're done. They are cremated and remains returned to the family. But we get ours from the University of Texas at Lubbock, and there's other facilities around the state that do this. We do not procure cadavers here at UTEP. We get them from, again, University of Texas at Lubbock.
The semester has already started here as this show airs, but someone enrolls in your class, and the next day you're saying, okay, today we're going to look at cadavers and we're going to do some dissection. So kind of walk us through what you tell the students and perhaps what they might expect, because this may be the first time they do it.
Yes, all the students that are taking part of the dissection are part of either the physical therapy, occupational therapy program. The summer before the last semester, I had them for surface anatomy, and we went over a lot of the superficial structures that can be felt and palpated and observed on the human body. Then they go into the cadaver lab and learn anatomy much more deeply. When we first start out, We talk a lot about what this means and the gift that was given to us by these people donating their bodies and how we need to treat them with respect and dignity. We go over a lot of safety. These are students using very sharp instruments, and we have to be very mindful of that. So in the beginning, we start out kind of slow, and then we get into dissecting, and the students do the dissection. The new lab has cameras, so we can show different cadavers if there's something interesting or something different. And one cadaver I will dissect, and the teaching assistant students will dissect, kind of to show the students what we're trying to define. It is a skill that takes a while to get good at or even fair at. So the students will be struggling a lot in the beginning. But by the end of the semester, they're pretty good at it and have learned how to dissect out muscles and nerves and blood vessels and learn the relationships.
You mentioned that you had cameras available as well. And I would imagine because of where technology has gone that you can dissect as well on a computer and do three-dimensional things. So tell us a little bit about the correlation between the cadavers, the hands-on, and also computer software or computer programs that you may use.
Computer software is helpful. I think it's a good adjunct. Students need to learn to start thinking in three dimensions. And again, there are computer programs that are helpful. Because of costs, maintaining a cadaver lab, some medical schools and other physical therapy and occupational therapy schools are looking to use more computer software and get away from dissecting cadavers. My personal opinion as an ex-surgeon is that the hands-on experience is vital, especially for occupational physical therapists, because their practice is putting hands on and manipulating muscles, and they need to know where they are and their relationship to other structures. And I think the best way to learn that is actually do it hands-on, and starting with the cadaver lab.
I'm glad that you mentioned that you were an ex-surgeon, because that's another question that pops up sometimes in people's minds as far as whatever skill we're good at or we learn, whether it be mechanics, broadcasting, whatever, there's got to be that time where you have to do it for the first time and you're very nervous. And why don't you, if you don't mind, tell us a little bit about your career as a surgeon.
I graduated from medical school, did a one-year surgical internship and a four-year orthopedic surgery residency. And it's an apprentice model where you start out and you're under direct supervision. And in the beginning, you really aren't doing anything. And then you gradually, as the attending physicians, your teachers get used to it and get to know you, you start doing more. And at the end of the fourth year, your chief residency year, pretty much doing most of the surgical case with the attending physician present. And then a one-year orthopedic trauma fellowship. And then practiced for nearly 20 years as an orthopedic surgeon.
And what made you decide to come over to academia?
I always was involved in teaching. I was always at teaching hospitals. Residency, you're teaching the younger residents, the more junior residents, and I progressed that, so that was a very natural fit. I was getting burned out, working 80, 90, 100 hours a week, had some health issues and went into academia, and physical therapy was a good fit.
And because of you mentioned, a lot of people don't realize just how many hours medical professionals put in. And now you're working with young people. It's got to be energizing and very rewarding to see these young people, and also remembering what you went through and how things are very different back then and now.
Yes, it is. That's what the upside of teaching is, passing the knowledge on and watching them grow. I've just finished my second year here at UTEP. Students that started when I did will be graduating in December. And it's been very interesting watching them grow and become people capable of being physical therapists, and that's the rewarding part of it.
As far as you working with the cadavers and doing the dissection, I'm sure that your experience as a surgeon helped you tremendously.
Yes, it's a skill like any other. I'm not trying to teach these students to be surgeons. I'm trying to teach them how to be able to dissect efficiently without destroying a lot of tissue that they're trying to learn. And I frequently am showing them. And another thing that we like to do is at certain points, I show them surgical approaches to the shoulder, the hip, the knee, mainly because I want them to appreciate what the surgeons are doing to patients that they will be taking care of. And if they have an understanding of what's been surgically traumatized in a hip replacement, for instance, then they'll have more respect for how to treat that and what they have to worry about.
And we talked about how things have changed over the years. And one of those, you being a surgeon, I'm sure that you're amazed at how things have changed now where you used to have to cut somebody's knee open. Now you can do it with just a little incision and laser.
Oh, yes. It's amazing, especially for the patient. For the surgeon, there's a bit of a learning curve, but once you learn how to do it, it's much less traumatic, dramatically decreases the recovery time, gets people back to high-level functioning very quickly. If you're watching the Olympics that just ended, the announcers would talk about many of these athletes have had surgical procedures and injuries in their past, and the recovery is amazing with less invasive surgery and the physical therapy to get them back and competing at obviously an extremely high level.
Do you all have a website that people can go to and perhaps get a virtual tour of the lab, or are tours available?
Not while the cadaver lab is being used, not for the general public. It is open if the nursing students wanted to come over. I mentioned before that the clinical chemistry students are already coming over. Biology students, I will be outreaching to some of those professors and seeing if they want to bring their students over to see it. Physical therapy and occupational therapy do have websites, and we will get something up on the cadaver lab there, but there's not a specific website right now other than the physical therapy and occupational therapy here at UTEP.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us here today. We've been visiting with Dr. Mark Calkins. Dr. Calkins is an assistant professor in the College of Health Sciences and is also the director in charge of the Human Anatomy Lab. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Evan Walsh. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.